body. We're having communion today. We live in a world today where everybody doesn't understand what we're talking about. When we talk about communion and what the reality of what that is and taking the elements and what they represent, when you talk about washed in the blood of the Lamb, the world doesn't understand what that means and the significance of it. And so when we have communion, I like to explain what all this is about. I explain it so that, one, what we understand the reality of it for the depth of what it truly is for us when we take communion, but also for those who are maybe not exposed to it, those who are listening on the internet, all the different things, so that they can truly understand what communion is really all about. So today what we're going to do is we're going to focus on the body aspect of it and what it means for us as believers to be a part of the body of Christ and how communion brings that reality into focus for us. So when we have communion, it's a time of examination for who we are individually in the reality of or the expansiveness of the body of Christ. Because not only are we connected to each other in this room, but we're connected to each other's across denominational lines as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to look at verses 14 through 27. We're also, if you want to, you can turn and flip there at this place as well. Romans chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 4, 5, and 6, because that's an effective and important part of what's being said here. Because what Paul's really telling us, he tells in two different places through Scripture, in two different letters written to two different groups of people, okay? For the body is not one member, but many. The body is not an individual. Now, we individually have our bodies, okay? But it is not one person that makes up the body. I'm a pastor. That does not mean that a pastor, just because a church has a pastor, that's the body. We have deacons. That doesn't mean that one deacon or one elder or one spiritual leader, it does not make up the body. It takes every single part of us to make up the body. So we, or you and I, are part of the body. But we're unified in who we are. There's a togetherness that brings us into being as a congregation, and as we assemble together. It's not just so that we come here and go through the routine of a worship. There is something that binds us together spiritually, and that's the Holy Spirit, but it's also the fact that we individually come here, but we're unified as part of this body. Romans 12:4 says this, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, everything that goes on in our own particular body as an individual does not perform the same function. Our heart is not a kidney. All right? A kidney is not a liver. A leg is not an arm. Eyes are not ears. They all individually make up the body holistically of who we are, but they all have different functions within that, but they're all essential to the reality of who we are as an individual. Same thing takes place in the body of Christ. Every single one of us is needed, and we need to be not only functioning properly, but we need to be filling the place for which that function has been given to us. And so as we look at the body, we need to realize that there's nothing that's more important than another part. And this is what happens a lot, spiritually and as we look at a congregation. A lot of people point to certain people to look to get things either done or to lead or to pray or to teach or to do all these certain aspects of it. And those are important. They have stepped up and they have taken on a role. This is a great congregation. I gave a pastoral announcement, right, earlier. We already have a coordinator. Thank you, Jesus, right? All right, but not only do we have a coordinator, we already have two assistants to help that coordinator. Are you catching what I'm talking here? Now look, so somebody stepped up and said that they would take on this role that we just mentioned at the very beginning of this service. But not only that, two people have already talked to that person and have decided to come along and help that person help in that role. All three of them are essential to what's going on. Do you get what I'm talking about here? It's not that there's just one person that's going to have their name as the coordinator of what's going on. It's the fact that there's a group of people who are already there standing up, holding up somebody. We have a Sunday school teacher. Well, guess what? It's a class that makes the Sunday school teacher what it is. And it's not just someone who comes in on a Sunday morning and gives a lesson. It's the holistically looking at that class for what it is, because each person brings something to a part of what's going on in that class. And if we look to an individual, or if we look to a pastor, if we look to a worship leader, look, churches are known for certain things. You can go to a congregation and you know that that congregation is known for singing. You can go to a congregation and you know that that congregation is known for preaching. You can go to that congregation and you know that that congregation is known for drama and the things that they can do in those aspects of worship. And so a lot of people will show up to church so that they can see what's going on there. We're missing the boat with this. This is not a show. I'm not up here to perform for you. The worship leader is leading you in worship. You're here to worship. I'm here to share with you. This is not my word. This is the word. And so as we catch these things in the morning, and as we come here on Sunday, and as we go out Monday through Friday or through Saturday, we have to live this out. This is a holistic environment of who we are. It's not just a thing that we do. And that's what he's trying to say to us here. For the body is not one member, but many. It's every aspect of this and every aspect of our life. It's every aspect of who we are functioning properly. Okay? So the first thing we need to understand is that you are a part of the body, that you are unified with one another. We are connected to each other. Now it's going to go a step further here. In verse 18 of chapter 12, and then in verse 5 of Romans chapter 12. All right, it says this, "But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. You have a place in the body. There's diversity and there's individuality." Romans 12:5 says this, "So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Okay, here's where it gets sticky for us within the body of Christ. Is that we like to take what we know and we like to, okay, let me just put it this way. We like control. That's the best word for us. So if we're going to do something, if we're going to lead something, we want control of it. And if we want control of it, I understand there needs to be management of it. If you're over it and it's ultimately responsible for it, then you need to have some understanding about every aspect of what's going on. So if you've got people helping you and working you with you, you need to know what's going on. But we like control. Control gives us authority. Control also gives us power. And so we live in a day and age where a lot of pastors who are the spiritual guiders of churches have become CEOs. They're the chief executive officer of a church. Scripturally, it says that we're the chief servant, that we're on the bottom of the rung, and that our job is to serve everybody else. But we've become a chief executive officer, and we don't do anything, but everybody does stuff for us. That is so flipped from what Scripture says to us. And that's just one example. This can be taken in the role of leaders, spiritual leaders, elders, deacons, whichever a church calls them. That's the same thing. Deacons don't run the church. Deacons are spiritual leaders in the church. It says scripturally that they're servants. And as you come today and we're going to take communion, they're going to be what? Serving you. So that's their job. Their job is to serve. Their job is not to go out and dictate what goes on. That's for all of us. As spiritual leaders in the church. Now, the same thing can be construed in Sunday school classes sometimes, or if you're the leader of a particular organization or area of the church, this kind of stuff manifests itself. What happens and what we see so often in the body is then at that point, nobody wants to go and be a part of that aspect of the body. Because it is a control thing and not a together thing. The first part says right here, you are part of the body. We are unified together. And then it says this, but now he's placed the members, each one of them in the body, just as he desired. Bobby Rice helps everybody here. Is that, I'm calling him out right now. All right. I didn't talk to him about this beforehand, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Bobby Rice does not need to have his name on anything here at all. Nothing. He doesn't care for anyone to know anything that he does. But he will help you in anything. Is that not true? That is an important part of the body. But I can tell you this, he doesn't want to help somebody who wants to control every aspect of who Bobby is. Bobby is a servant, and he will serve any one of us doing anything from cooking to cleaning to helping in any way, shape, form, or fashion. But we can't sit there and laud that over him thinking, well, that's all Bobby does. All Bobby wants to do is to come and help everybody. We can just don't tell Bobby what to do, and Bobby will go do it. It's not that way. He is a functioning part of this fellowship. And on homecoming, he's a vital functioning part of this. And at Brotherhood, he is a vital functioning part of this. Are you following what I'm saying here? And see, we need to understand how this goes about for us holistically in the body of Christ. And so many times we think we can go out and do something. We can do it by ourselves because we can do it better than anybody else. They need to just leave us alone. That is not a body. That is not how it works. What if your arm just said, hey, I'm just going to go out here and I'm going to do what I want to? It doesn't work that way. You need every part of this working together for the same common goal, which is to what? Further the kingdom of Christ. Amen. And if everybody is on that page and we're all doing what our roles are, whether that be the leader or the servant or the worker or whatever aspect that is, if it's going that way, we're all flying in the same direction. It's just like a flock of what? Ducks or a flock of geese that you see. If you watch them, and look, does any of you guys ride bicycles, like Tour de France, or any y'all ever watch any of that? Look, I know you probably think I'm crazy or whatever, but I've done this and stuff before and ridden with groups. The guy that's riding out front, he is killing it. And I want you to know, because I've been out front, the guys behind him, they're not doing jack. They're riding in his slipstream. So when you see that group of 200 bicycles out there, that dude that's out there in front by himself, that bird that's on the front of that, they're doing all the work and everybody else. But I want you to know something. When that guy gets tired, when that bird gets tired, they just peel off and they go to the back. And then somebody else has to step up and they have to do it. So I've been in the back and I'm going, this is easy, 20 miles. And then I've been on the front going, somebody help me. I need to get back to the back. Because we all think that being out front is all good. But it's not all good all the time, especially when we're out there. So just as much as we have leaders in the church, they need the people behind them supporting them for what is going on. You make decisions, you decide to go a certain way, and then everybody rumbles about the decision that was made. This is church life. This is probably home life for us. This is the body life for us. We have to learn to work together. We are intertwined. And a lot of people in congregations today sit around and say, I don't want to do that. I'm going to go sit over here on the side, and I'm not going to participate in that. And because of that, we think they'll be fine without me. But they won't be fine without you because you are a part of the network of who this place is. I'm going to give you a personal thing right here from Mount Salem right now. Right now, we're going through all of the roles and stuff. People who are members, people who have been inactive, and people who are active. And we're just getting started and stuff. So over the course of this fall, we're going to be sending out a letter to the folks that we haven't seen in a while. We're going to invite them to come back. We're going to ask if they've connected somewhere else. If they've connected somewhere else, have they need to move their membership. Well, you know what I'm saying? We're just trying to some ways clean up the roles and see where people are. And then some way to spur them to come back and be a part of this body of Christ. Because if they haven't gone somewhere else, this is where their name is. This is where they need to be because we can't carry 200 people on a roll and 50 people show up on Sunday morning. That makes no sense whatsoever. That means there's 150 people riding in the back of the Peloton back there, and they're never coming to the front. And we can't pedal fast enough to do that. So we have to realize what this all means for every single one of us. And it's not just the pastor's job to go out and be that person that goes door to door and invites people and does all that. I will do that. I stand out front. I greet. I will go on Wednesdays. I'm not above that. All I'm saying is it can't just be me doing that. It's every one of us working together so that we can have this. Why? Because we are not only unified, we are diverse in who we are, and individually we make up the whole of what this is. Now, culturally, we're swimming upstream with this. Because culturally right now, everybody wants to be an individual. But you know what everybody's missing in their life? They're missing family. They're missing the group that they're a part of. They're wanting a place where they can belong to. But in our individualistic culture that we live in, everybody thinks that because of what they say is that important, we've made that, you know, what you say is all truth, but it's not all truth. So everybody just stands out here and says what they want to or does what they want to individually, and now we don't stand for anything. And our leaders in our country try to get us to stand for just something simplistic. We can't even define sexuality anymore. We can't even define morality anymore. We can't even define all these things. Why? Because we are all about the individual and the diversity of who we are. Bodies do not function that way. Churches do not function that way. Society, cultures do not function that way. So we have to make these changes in who we are to understand what this is for us as a person and us corporately. We need to care for each other. We need to have concern for each other. Everybody, one another. So, not only do we have these things that tell us what's going on about individually and how we're united and the diversity of that and how we fit into it, but he says this in verses 24 and 26 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. He says, "But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to the member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, that the members may have the same care for one another, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Not only do you have a part of the body and a place in the body, you have purpose in this body. You are unique. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Romans 12:6 says this, "Since we have these gifts that are different according to the grace that is given to us, each of us should exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith." So, I know this is true. I'm the best preacher that you've ever heard in your entire life, right? Except for Pastor Paul. You've never ranked your preachers before, right? And that's okay. You know, I'm not claiming to be the best of this and the best of that. I hope somewhere I fit in the top 10, you know, maybe or something like that. I'm working hard. I'm trying to get better. All right. Yeah, I make a mean cake. Sausage balls tonight. They're going to rock your world. All right. So I'm working hard for you. All right. What I'm saying here is this. Not everybody that stands up here and says that they have preacher behind their name or pastor behind their name is the best that you've ever seen at that. Not everybody that goes over there can cook like Bobby can cook. Not everybody that can teach like Doug can teach. But that doesn't mean that you're not called to be a teacher. That doesn't mean that you're not called to be a preacher. It doesn't mean that you're not called to help out and to go serve somewhere else. Just because somebody else in this, even in this small body of Christ that we have, does something better than you, that doesn't mean anything. It means that you're supposed to take the talent to the measure in which God has given that to you and to use that. To use that. And we're to glorify God with it. Can Mariana play the piano? Does that scare you half to death if you play the piano? That you would have to follow somebody like that? It doesn't matter. She's been gifted and blessed. Your job is if you've been gifted and blessed, ask to play the piano and be a part of this. Do you realize this? She came to me a few weeks ago. She's played the piano here every Sunday for the last 3 years. She took a Sunday off a few weeks ago because she's played it here every Sunday for 3 years. Can somebody else play the piano? It's okay if somebody else wants to play the piano. Mariana could use a week here and there. And it doesn't matter if you play it like I play it. Well, first of all, you're going to play it better than me. There's no doubt. But our job is to use the talents and gifts to the measure in which we've been given them and be okay with that. Be totally okay with that because you have a place and you have a purpose in this congregation. And so we've got to find that, and we've got to find what that is, and then we have to be that person. And we have to step up. In some cases, it may be to support somebody else. In some cases, it may be to lead, even though you may not have the leadership skills that somebody else has. In some cases, it's to teach. In some cases, it's just to be there to be the backup for somebody else so that it's okay if they're not here. Whatever it is, do it to the best of your ability because it is what God has given you and be totally okay with it. I'm totally okay with it. This body's going to be totally okay with it. This brings about a holistic view of who we are as the body of Christ. I've heard things about our congregation. People who have come here before and maybe don't come here now or have come to me and said that they visited here once or were a guest here once, whatever it is. There's one thing. Those people are really, really nice. Everybody there is really, really nice. We need to work that because I need you to know something. There's a lot of churches when you walk into it, they're not nice. They're not welcoming. They're not friendly. They're not extroverted towards people who are coming in that they don't know. And so we need to be who we are. Are we 12 stone? No. Are we 2.5 stone? I don't even know. We're not to compare ourselves with them. They do what they do, and the people that go there, and that's okay. We're together with them. We're on the same page. If they believe what the scripture says about Christ Jesus and about the Lord our Savior, then we are on the same page with them. But if they don't go there and they don't like their style or who they are, then it's okay that they come here. Is that not right? Right. We're not in competition. But what we are is all of us are out there actively seeking to be the best body of Christ that we can be for who we are, our identity. And our identity is wrapped up in this. And every single one of us is an individual. And we're a very important part of something that God is doing corporately. And we can never, ever forget that. So if the preacher's not here one Sunday, that's not layout Sunday. It's not. It's pick it up Sunday. Because I'm bringing in somebody that we can't afford here because they're that much better than me. But y'all can't afford them. That's why I bring them here. I ask them to come because y'all can't afford them. Because if I brought somebody here y'all could afford, you might just say, he's a little bit better than them. I think we can go up a notch here. That's the whole point. So we got to understand that the Sundays that I'm out, it's probably going to be pretty good. And if we had a little bit more money, if we gave a little bit more, we might could have somebody like that. And then I'll be associate pastor to Brother Paul. Look, guys, we are who we are. Most of us are not okay with that. I am who I am. Somebody told me that this week. Tim Hunter is Tim Hunter. What you see is what you get. And I'm perfectly fine with that. Perfectly fine with that. Are you who you're supposed to be? Do you know who that is? Have you asked God? Has He gifted you? Are you using those gifts? Are you individually working in this body so that not only will you feel your place and purpose, but this body feels its place and purpose in this community? And then we truly become who God wants us to be in Christ Jesus. Are we okay if somebody else is in charge? Are we okay if somebody else plays the piano or sings a song or does a drama or preaches on Sunday? We're not okay if somebody else cooks the food that Bobby's supposed to cook, though, right? I'm just playing. Are we okay with that? Yes, we are. Why? Because it's all about us together, and we're hooked in this together. Last thing I say is this. I want to just say this. I cannot be everywhere everybody needs me to be at all times. There's one of me. In fact, I'm not even sure how many of us there are that are actively a part of what's going on here. My guess is right now we're probably around 120 to 150 people that I have seen here in the months that I have been here. If you know something that's going on where I need to be or somebody else needs to be, then either help us get there or get there yourself. Amen? And it's okay if you beat me somewhere, to the hospital or somebody's house or something like that. Call me and I will be on my way. But it's okay if you go there first and you're there to support and to help and to do what you can. Because that's the body. That's us interconnected. That's us fully becoming and being who we're supposed to be. And then I will get there. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you so much for the blessings that you are in our lives. I thank you for the fact that you have saved us from ourselves and from the sin that has so infected us. Father, as we come to you now, we come to you as the body. Father, and we are here to commune with you this morning. We thank you so much for your word and Brother Paul and how he wrote to us and through 1 Corinthians and in Romans again and in Ephesians and said this over and over and over again about who we are individually united together and unique in the body of Christ. Father, help us to be together so that we can go out into this world and brightly shine forth a light for your kingdom. These things we pray now in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask our deacons to come.